All right, welcome in to Run the Damn Podcast. I'm Rob Snyder alongside Craig Kolodny. We're going to be coming to you weekly talking about mostly NFL reaction, anything in sports that interests us, plus a little bit of a Boston flair to it, because that's where we're located, and that's what we're doing here. So first off, we're going to do three things today. We're going to do bold predictions for the Patriots. We are going to do our favorite overs or unders for the NFL season, and then we'll give you our predictions for who makes the playoffs and who makes the Super Bowl, and those predictions, of course, will be correct. So we will start, though, with the hometown team in our area, which is the New England Patriots. Craig, three bold predictions for the season. I'm curious, would you like to do your three and my three, or would you like to go back and forth on these? My vote is for back and forth, by the way.
All right, let's do back and forth.
All right, why don't you go first?
I'll kick us off here, and I'll start with the offensive line, because you know that's really what's going to get people to listen to this podcast. So,
my first
bold prediction, and I don't really know how bold this is, but I'm going with Garrett Bradbury will not be the starting center by week four.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Garrett Bradbury was not a productive player last year in Minnesota. By all accounts, he's getting ragdolled at practices by everything you read and some of the video you saw from fans. So I am definitely saying that as my first bold prediction. So what's your first one, Rob?
First of all, I like that. I don't even know if that's that bold, but we'll continue. My first
They will get bolder.
Yeah. So my first one is, it's going to sound negative at first, but it's actually positive. My first one is Drake May finishes with less than 3,300 passing yards on the season, but also less than 11 picks.
Okay, well, game manager.
My thought on that is that they are going to manage him. And I think the McDaniels offense kind of is that anyway. I don't think they're going to throw the ball down the field nearly as much as we might want them to. It might be a detriment to them. We'll see. But a lot of running backs, a lot of short throws, a lot of protecting the football. I feel like there's going to be like a 6-week stretch where Drake May does not turn the ball over this season. He may only throw like 4 touchdown passes in those 6 weeks, but he won't turn the ball over. So that's my first bold prediction.
Okay. I'm on board with that. You look at what Tannehill's numbers were, you know, with Vrabel in Tennessee, you kind of think of how they want to win games, and I think they have talent elsewhere that can help May. And the only thing I don't really believe is the turnovers there. I think May is a lot of work to do to harness those turnovers. Cause I don't know if he is capable of kind of playing that kind of role, but we'll see.
Well, I went interceptions, not turnovers. That's
okay.
The big
thing. Okay.
So, yeah. Fumble away, Drake. Fumble away.
Fumble away. Take that sack. Okay. Number two. I'm going over to the defensive side of the ball. Number two. Thank you, number two. Kalavon Chaisson, who took about all of training camp for me to learn how to say his name, and I'm not even sure I'm saying it correctly. He's going to lead the team in sacks this year.
It's so funny.
Don't tell me that's one of yours. But, you know, just looking at this roster, and when I say that, I'm not predicting a 12-sack season from a guy who's going to play probably mostly on third down. But I don't really fully believe in Harold Landry coming off his injury. I think he's going to play, but I don't know how effective he's going to be. I think it's going to be a lot of moving parts, and I just see Chaisson playing a big role on third down, getting to the quarterback by everything you've seen. He obviously had a good finish last year to his season, and I just feel like he's somebody that has been on the rise throughout camp and the preseason. And I just, you know, Milton Williams, I know he's making $100 million, he's going to see double teams. So he'll make his, you know, fair share of plays, but I just don't think you got to kind of think of someone coming off the edge. And I think Chaisson's that guy.
That, for the record, that was my fourth bold prediction that did not make the cut, but yes, I also had Kalavon Chaisson leads the team in sacks. All right. So this is probably my boldest based on how difficult it might be to happen. Although then again, it could absolutely happen. We'll see.
Sure.
Steph Diggs will be benched for the first quarter of a game due to something that happened that week or the game before.
Okay.
I think Steph Diggs will do something stupid this season that won't get him cut, but it will get him Wes Welkered for a quarter.
Yeah, I feel like that's, to be honest, I don't feel like that's that bold. I think bold would be like him getting traded. But yeah, he's somebody that it's going to be interesting to see. Obviously, we have not seen his connection with Drake May, and I'm not suggesting that this is going to be Brady and Randy Moss in 07, but there, you know, in 07 training camp, we didn't see Moss on the field with Brady at all. So when that kind of took off week one, and obviously throughout the whole season, definitely not saying that's going to happen. What I am saying is that if he is not productive early and he's not getting the damn ball, I think it's going to be a recipe for a disaster. I just think he's somebody that is so used to getting the ball, and I just hope May doesn't try to force feed him the ball, because he's kind of that history of being a prima donna wide receiver.
He hasn't talked to the media since the first time he talked to the local media. He has not said a word since, when was it? It was over a month ago. He had the little thing with Diana Rossini, but that's it. I just feel like, obviously, like, that's not a benchable thing, but eventually he's going to have to do something that he doesn't want to do. And right. I think it's going to end up becoming an issue. And Vrabel's kind of like no BS with him. So I have a feeling that at some point this season, there's going to be a Steph Diggs week where we're like, oh God, like, here we go again.
Yeah. Let's just hope it's not when they're like 5-1 and he's getting like 3 catches a game for 45 yards, but we're not going to go there yet. My third one.
All right.
Let's hear it. Bold prediction. This is, I think, as bold. I don't know if this is going to be as bold as your third one, but this is where I went big. I have the Patriots going 8-1 at home this season. And wow. I was going to say undefeated, but when they have the 9th game, obviously an extra layer in there. Do you know who they have at home, Rob? So
not off the top of my head. Why don't you go ahead and fill me
I'll tell you, but before I get there, they are the last 4 seasons. This is how bold this is. Last 4 seasons, they are 11-22 at home.
Yeah, they're horrible.
They've won a third of their games, and I'm not telling you. I think they're going 8-1.
I heard something the other day. It had been 3 or 4 years since they've won back-to-back home games.
Yeah,
like in a season, which is disturbing. I couldn't imagine having season tickets.
They're 3-13 at home the last 2 years. So, anyways, here's their home slate. Obviously, you know the division games. Vegas.
All right.
Very winnable game.
Yep.
Pittsburgh, very winnable game. Carolina, mm-hmm. very winnable game. Cleveland, very winnable game. Atlanta, and the Giants.
Okay. And I have 2-5. No, I'm kidding. they're obviously all winnable games. They should be.
They're bold predictions for a reason. Do I actually think they're probably going 8-1? I mean, sure. I'll stick with it. I feel like they... If they're going to, you know, we're going to talk predictions later, and I have them in the playoffs, spoiler alert, but I think they're going to have to do a lot of this at home, you know, and just kind of and ride that crowd, get the fans back into it.
The funny thing is I'm used to the 17 game season by now. Like, I feel like all those records like sound normal to me, but when you said 8-1 at home, I was like, that doesn't sound right. It's like 9 games. Like, why are they playing 9 home games?
Yep.
All right, what's your third one? So NFL, NBA has 3 All-NBA teams. NFL has 2 All-Pro teams.
Okay.
Christian Barmore will be an All-Pro this year. First team, second team, I don't care. I think people forget how freaking good Barmore was 2 years ago before the blood clots and the, you know, defensive tackle is one of the hardest positions to be good at. I wouldn't say good at, productive at, early in your career. You look at a lot of the great defensive tackles, it took them time before the actual production went up. Barmore had 8.5 sacks his third year in the league. That is nothing to sneeze at. I mean, that is that's a ridiculous number for the interior for a guy that's in his third year. And last year was just a wash, and he's shown there hasn't been like a Barmore's out today because of like, you know, medication has to, you know, it's like, it seems like the blood clot thing is behind him. It's blood clots, right? I'm getting that right.
Yeah,
right.
No, it's right. I just have concerns.
The last thing I want to do is,
you got that right.
I know Milton Williams is getting the free agent money. I think he'll be kind of on and off the field. I think Barmore is going to be a stud. So I'm all in on the Christian Barmore comeback player of the year type year. I don't think he'll get it because they'll find some quarterback to give it to, or, you know, DeMar Hamlin will be nominated for the third year in a row. You want to move on to win totals?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do some win totals. So this is can be over, can be under. You just your favorite three where you're like, no, this is happening. I slam this hard. And by the way, we are not don't tail us. I don't.
Yes. No, we're not, this is
geniuses.
Yeah. Well, they say geniuses pick green.
Yeah, that's true. But you didn't pick it.
But I didn't pick it. All right. First one. I'll get us going. We'll alternate. Go back and forth. I have the Bills over 11.5.
Wow. All right. This is one if someone like put in like a knife to my neck and said, pick the Bills, I think I would go the under. So sell me.
Here, I'm going to sell you. They face, obviously, the six games in the division, which they're going to be favored in all of them, depending on when, depending on how the season goes, but presumably favored in all of them. Let's say they go 5-1 there, 6-0 definitely in play. They face the NFC South, which year after year is not traditionally a good division. Mm-hmm. A lot of winnable games in there, no matter how good any of those four teams play. The Bills, as long as Josh Allen is playing, they'll be fine.
Yep.
They also play Cleveland. They play Pittsburgh. Again, teams that are not overly talented.
Yep.
And then their three toughest games, Philly, Baltimore, Kansas City, all at home.
Yep.
So figure 2-1 out of those three. You know, if they were all on the road, maybe 1-2 or 0-3 for those games.
Yeah.
But Philly, Baltimore, KC, I think they win two of those three. I just think the math adds up for them to get to 12.
I'm just not a Bills believer this year the way other people are. I've seen a lot of people pick them for the Super Bowl, and I'm like, I think they're one of those, like, window is passing us by teams, and I don't see them doing things differently enough year to year to sell me that this is going to be the year. I think they need a new coach, to be honest with you. I'm not a Sean McDermott guy.
And this is last year, I feel like.
He plays Kansas City the same way every single time they play them. And it's like, dude, like, you can't just sit and cover one. Like, it doesn't work like that. And the Chiefs scored over 30 points one time last season, once the whole season. And it was the AFC Championship game.
So, but why do they beat him in the regular season and then can't beat him in the playoffs? It can't be a defensive scheme fully.
My guess, I mean, look, it could be a number of things, but it feels like whenever Buffalo plays KC in the regular season, it feels like the Bills Super Bowl a little bit.
Sure.
And then the AFC title game when they play each other, it's obviously like both teams Super Bowl, in a sense.
Sure, yeah.
So I feel like when Kansas City's up to it the same way Buffalo is, they beat them.
Yeah. I'll have thoughts on all this shortly. But give me your first over-under.
You have Kansas City under, don't you? Here's my first one. Washington Commanders under 9.5.
Okay.
They were, I think, something like,
speaking like a true Eagles fan,
I think they were, I wish I had the number in front of me. They were something ridiculous in one score games last year. I don't even think they lost a one score game last year. No, sure. I don't think they did.
And the Chiefs won like every close game.
Yeah. They were number one in the league in like fourth down efficiency by a landslide, like things that usually regress to the mean.
Sure.
They won a game on a Hail Mary. They won a game on a missed two-point conversion. They won a game week two when the Giants kicker got hurt and they had to go for two on every single touchdown and missed all of them.
Yep.
The way that they're improving Jaden Daniels' roster around him, improving, is by getting older. You know, they have the oldest roster in the NFL in the last 13 years. They have like an average age over 28. They have 25 players over 30. I don't like the fact that they're building around Jaden Daniels by giving one-year deals to all these older guys. I don't believe in Von Miller anymore. I don't believe in Deebo Samuel anymore. I think they're total team regression. I think the Dan Quinn backwards hat culture, I think that is fleeting. I think Cliff Kingsbury is fleeting. Yep. Everything about the Commanders screams one-year. Now, look, Jaden Daniels is going to be good his whole career. Should be.
Right.
And, like, there's no reason that they can't bounce back. But it screams one year, elevator to the top. And then they'll regress to the mean, I think, more than anybody. So, well, I am
anti-commander. Yeah, when have they had a sustained run too? God, the last 20 years. I mean, even going back to like RG3, obviously I know he got hurt, but they don't historically in the last couple decades at least have never really put it together back to back years. So
yeah, like, and they cut Jonathan Allen and signed Javon Kinlaw to like $15 million a year. Like, their best defensive players are Bobby Wagner, who's old,
right?
Marshawn Lattimore, who might be cooked, and he was not good once he got traded to them,
right?
Von Miller's old as hell. Like, they're not Frankie Louvu's good, but like, I don't look at their defense as anything tremendous. Their offensive line is not all that great. They did a really good job of scheming around a bad offensive line last year. They traded Brian Robinson, so like, I don't really know how good their running game is going to be. I think they're so due to regress. Not due, you know, they have one good year, but you know, I just think that the way they're built, they are kind of built to regress.
Sure. Okay. So my second over under, I have the over on the Commanders wins. No, I'm just kidding. I have the Bengals, the Bengalis, 9.5. We going over.
I like the Bengals.
Last 4 years, they've had at least 9 wins. So I need them to just, you know, somehow win a half game more.
Yeah.
I just think the way they've treated the preseason this year, obviously historically they've had bad starts the last couple of years. My God, they lost to Gerard freaking Mayo week 1 last year in a barn burner in Cincinnati, 16-10, cost them the playoffs. I just think that I think they won 5 in a row to end last year. I think the Hendrickson thing, I don't know why he's so happy with that small raise considering how good he is, but he seems happy. The vibe seem happy. Chase is obviously going to have a monster year. Higgins is back. Burrow, the Gesicki, who had a nice year for them, even though he was not so great here. Not sold on the defense, but again, they're playing Cleveland, Pittsburgh a couple times. I didn't go through their whole schedule. I just think Burrow, I believe in Burrow. Obviously, if he gets time, which is the big if, has been the last, or his whole career. I don't know. I just feel like they are a team that obviously was peaking at the end of last year and probably could have caused some damage if they got in the playoffs. I just think they're a team that has the positions that you need right now. Quarterback, 2 wide receivers. Yeah. There's a lot to like there. I think if they have a little bit more focus, I think Zach Taylor's another guy like we talked about, Sean McDermott. I think he's running out of time. If this does not turn around fast, he could be on the hot seat by mid to late season. But for now, I'm buying in on the Bengals over 9.5.
A quarterback that good, they should get to 10 wins. They should. Let's do another under. Your team over, I'm team under right now. I do have one over, but if you look at all the over-unders and you go by them, no team would be winning less than 5 games, which is not true.
It can't happen.
I have Saints under 4.5.
Yes, I love this.
There's no way they're winning 5 games. I could break them down, but I will just say this. They're horrible. Their roster is horrible. Their quarterback situation is horrible.
Who's starting for them? Is it
Spencer Rattler?
Is it Rattler?
Got the job over Tyler Shuck.
Shuck.
And Kellen Moore is, I never thought he should be a head coach. And that's not me wanting to keep him in Philly. I just don't think he's head coach material. He's really doesn't command the room when he talks. He's like a very
soft-spoken.
I don't know. He's just not, he just doesn't seem like a head coach to me. I don't think his offense is particularly like elite. Like, it's not like Ben Johnson, you're like, oh, well, maybe he doesn't command his room, but he's not, I don't think there's anything innovative about Kellen Moore. So
sure.
Someone is going to have to lose 14 games, 13 games. It's going to be the Saints. Okay. They're not going over 4.5. So I am team under 4.5 in New Orleans.
If you don't pick a team under 4.5 wins, are you really doing an over under segment? I mean, that pick right there alone is going to be fun to watch the entire season.
I mean, 4.5, Vegas knows they suck. Everybody knows they suck. So it's basically like 5 wins is like, it's a decent amount of wins. So, like, you know, like that, it's hard to win five times when you're that bad.
Yeah, the only reason I would consider the over, and I'm not, but is that they play in that division and that they're going to have games that are winnable ish. You know, I'm like sure. There's games there that they're going to have a chance in. But yeah, no, I love the pick.
I'm just looking something up real quick.
Yeah.
Let me see. What did they do?
Look
at that team. Last year, the Saints. So they went 5-12 and in that division. And they had Derek Carr as their quarterback for the first 5 weeks. They won their first two games. Remember, they scored over 44 points in both of their first two games. And wow. Then Spencer Rattler went 0-3. Carr came back, won three more games, and then Spencer Rattler came in and lost the rest of them. So
that's going to be a QB room that changes week to week.
Yeah,
I wouldn't say Spencer Rattler has a stranglehold on that position.
Yeah.
All right, third over/under. I've gone two overs.
Yeah.
In the AFC, I'm sticking in the AFC, but it's time to go under.
Yeah, there we go.
And I will regret this, but we are taking the Chiefs under 11.5.
It's 11.5 is a big number.
So they have won at least 12 games. This is how stupid this is. They have won at least 12 games in 6 of the 7 years with Mahomes.
Okay.
But you want their schedule? Sure. Obviously, we know their division. So Chargers, Broncos, 4 times, you know, Raiders, whatever. Philly.
Yep.
Baltimore. Detroit, Washington, Buffalo, Houston, plus Broncos. I obviously didn't include the ones that didn't work off my argument, but that's 10 games that are all either tough divisional games for a team that, again, I think this is more about at some point, they're going to have what is considered a down year for them. I'm not saying they're going 4-13. But I just think some of the other teams are catching up to them a little bit. Like, I think the Chargers and the Broncos are going to give them tougher games. They were tough on them last year, but it's only getting tougher. It's tough to do this, against the Reed and Mahomes team. But I just – something didn't feel right the way the Super Bowl went last year. They won a ton of games last year that they shouldn't have. I just feel like they are – if the refs don't get in the way – I feel like there's a chance that they land at 10 or 11 wins. I'm still going to pick them for the playoffs. I'm not going crazy, but I think they probably still win the division, but maybe they go 11-6 and win the division.
I thought last year they were a fraud.
Yeah.
That's why I think maybe this year I know they went to the Super Bowl. But I think this year might be a bounce back in the sense of they'll play a little better. I agree their schedule's tough. But I'm not sold on the over or the under, so I have zero issue with taking the under there. And it's fun. It's fun to see the Chiefs lose some games. My last one, this will take me into my playoff predictions also.
Yep.
I have Rams over 9.5. And really, to me, all you're betting on with the Rams, and it's risky, all you're betting on with the Rams is Matthew Stafford going to stay healthy.
Yep.
Because I think if he stays healthy for the whole season, there's no way they're under 9.5 wins. I think their defense is really good, young, up and coming.
Yeah.
I think their offensive line is like average, but Kyron Williams is good. I like Devontae Adams instead of Cooper Kupp on the offense. Puka Nacua. Like, there's...
They got pieces. They got players.
Yeah, there's nothing... You know, and they're coached well, and they have a good quarterback. So there's no way... I see zero shot that McVay and Stafford, if Stafford is healthy. And maybe that's why, you know, that's baked into the 9.5. But
it's a big if.
I see, like, no reason why they should be under 9.5 if he's healthy. But, like, I can't hit it. Like, I get he's older and has like an existing thing going on.
Yeah.
But like, if you're not treating over-unders as everybody's healthy, then there's no reason you should be touching these.
Right.
Right. Like, you know, it's like, well, this guy could get hurt. This guy could get hurt. It's like, okay, well, anyone can get hurt anytime.
not part of the conversation. You can't assume injury. I will say this. I think McVay is also a coach that if Stafford goes down, I don't think they'll mail in the season, whether that means getting somebody else or him coaching Garoppolo. Up. Oh, God. Well, it's Garoppolo. Yep. I think he could get the most out of Jimmy G. I know that's crazy, but I don't like Stafford, obviously, is the linchpin there, but I think that there's a chance if he goes down that 9.5 isn't just like if Josh Allen gets injured, the Bills aren't going over 11.5.
No,
like
no
that's shot. Just, yeah. I don't think the Rams would be cooked in a scenario if Stafford goes down. I think they would still be competitive and win a few games that they probably shouldn't.
Well, while we're on the Rams, should we start with the NFC then for our playoff predictions?
Let's do it. Do you want to go first?
I might as well go
a couple times.
I might as well go first because it comes right off my over-unders.
Yep.
I have the Rams as the one seed in the NFC. Wow. And it's funny because I'm not the biggest McVay guy. I'm not as big of a McVay guy as other people. I just like that. I like that roster.
The defense. It just hit me. You have them the number one seed in the NFC.
I do. I have them as the number one seed in the NFC. The
wow. Rams. With a 9.5 win total.
Yeah, no, I have them over that 9.
No, I understand that.
Yeah. I think I think the Rams are in for a big year. I like, unlike the Commanders, they surrounded their good quarterback with young talent around him. I know Devontae Adams is older, but like that is a good young defense, and they have weapons on offense. And if their quarterback stays healthy, I think they should be there.
Okay.
I have the Eagles too. And their schedule is very difficult. But I just think they're a really good team still. They're also very young. I think they're the third youngest team in the league. And I just kind of believe in what they have going on. The youngest team in the league, I believe, is Green Bay, and they have them as the 3 seed. Parsons helps. I'm not a Jordan Love guy. I am not a Jordan Love guy. I want to say that many times as I have Green Bay in the 3rd seed. I am not a Jordan Love guy. But
got it. Rob's not a Jordan Love guy. Noted.
They seem to have like good-ish regular. You know, it's funny. They went 9-8 in Jordan Love's first year as a starter, made the playoffs, won a game. Everyone went nuts. Yeah. Last year, they ended the season with a hideous loss in Chicago to get the 7th seed. So they still haven't really shown up the way they're supposed to, but maybe that's them slowly climbing the ladder. So I'll give them the 3. Yeah. I got Tampa's the 4. I cannot believe in any other NFC South team. You can tell me the Falcons. I'm on year 7 of people telling me how good the Falcons might be. So I'm not doing that again. And then my wild cards, I have the Niners, because their schedule is garbage.
Yeah, very easy.
I have the Detroit Lions, who I think will take a minor step back with just the brain drain that went on there.
Yep.
And so remember, last week you and I talked, and I told you that I think the Dallas Cowboys will make the playoffs.
Yep. You get a mulligan if you want to.
I have revised that Dallas
that's
Cowboys.
That's a fair mulligan. That's...
Yeah. Their defense was already bad, but when you take one of the better defensive players in the league off of it, then that I can't take you seriously anymore.
Yep, that's fair.
I have a surprise here. I have the Seattle Seahawks as the last wild card team in the NFC.
Okay, so you got 3 NFC West teams.
I do. I like the direction they're going. So it's tough. Again, I'm not a Jordan Love guy, but I have the Packers 3. Sam Darnold, obviously. I'm not going to wave the flag for Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
But I really like Mike McDonald. I think their defense is really good. They can run the ball. So I am going to – I think they won 10 games last year too and missed the playoffs.
Yeah, they did.
I like Sam Darnold, J.J. McCarthy. So why not take Seattle over Minnesota right here? You know, are 3 teams really from the North really going to get back in? I'm obviously down on the Commanders. And I looked at the Arizona Cardinals. They have
you have the Commanders out, right?
Or
you
I have the Commanders out. Commanders out.
Okay.
Yep. Out.
Okay.
I thought about the Cardinals, but their schedule is really hard early and really hard late, which is just such a recipe for not making the playoffs. Losing games early and then stalling late. So yeah.
Did you have the Saints getting in on a 10-way tiebreaker with a 3-14 record?
Oh my God, the Saints.
They should be relegated.
Yeah. All so right. From last year, I think the only – oh, no, I have two new teams in. So I have Minnesota out, and I have Washington out. Yeah, of course.
Washington out. Yep. Okay. So I did admittedly, I do not have these ranked. Okay. So I don't have seeds, but I have division winners and wild cards.
Sure.
So I will work my way across Eagles winning the NFC East, the Green Bay Packers winning the NFC North. I just think you talked about the brain drain. We're going to see what Dan Campbell can really do here without without his coordinators. And the Micah Parsons thing just really, you know, ups the ante in Green Bay. So to me, Packers, which I might regret, but for now, I mean, I can't go back, but they're the NFC North champs. Last week, I proclaimed the Carolina Panthers to be the NFC South division winners, and I'm sticking with it. I'm not changing my pick. I agree with you on the Falcons. Like, how many years in a row are we going to say, oh, this is the year? Maybe Kyle Pitts catches 30 passes this year.
Yeah.
I'm not sold on the Falcons. You know, I'm not really sold on the Panthers, but I think Bryce Young came on at the end of last year. I think he finally figured it out. I think pairing him with Canales, obviously an offensive-minded coach that seems pretty well-respected. I just think someone's going to win that division, and we know it ain't. We know it's not going to be the Saints. And, you know, I don't really how many years in a row is Tampa Bay going to win the division just by default because the other teams suck? Like, at some point, one of these teams has to put it together. Mm-hmm. I'm predicting it's Carolina this year.
I love it. I love it.
I have the 49ers winning the NFC West. I just think that Shanahan's a good coach. I think Purdy is good enough. I don't really believe in him a ton, but between McCaffrey, Kittle, all the other weapons they have there, I just feel like they have the recipe to kind of get back to the top of that division.
Cool.
Wild cards. Lions, they kind of have to be there until they show that they suck again. But they have enough there talent-wise that they should be fine. Whoever the new coordinators are, obviously, we'll figure it out. Might be a little slow to start, but they'll get in. I have the Commanders in. I just think Jaden Daniels is a quarterback league, and I just think he's somebody that always makes plays, and no reason to believe he's not going to this year. I do agree with you that they could have been a little fluky last year, but I just think he's good enough. And again, you're looking at some of the, you know, the competition. You're not picking the Cowboys. You're not picking the Giants. Yeah. You know, there's certain other teams in the NFC South you're not picking. So there's only a limited pool of teams. My last pick, keep in mind, as of right now, I do not have your number one seed in the playoffs.
That's true.
But I do now. They're my seven. They're my seven seed.
Okay.
I gave serious consideration to the Seahawks like you did. There's another team that I gave consideration to, and it's we're going to find out within 4 weeks, maybe even 2 weeks, if this team has a chance, and that's the Bears. You just don't know how it's going to work with Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson. Rams, I think picking the Panthers felt like enough of a leap of faith for me, so I'll stick conservatively and pick the Rams as my final wild card team in the NFC.
I'll go into my AFC.
Sure.
I have Baltimore as the one seed. I am Ravens believer this year. Yep. I thought Lamar Jackson had one of the best years ever last year.
Sure.
And I actually thought they kind of got, even though they lost, I thought they got over a little bit of their playoff hump last year with the way they played in to, you know, come back in that Bills game. And obviously Andrews had to drop, but right. I think they're like not afraid of the postseason as much as they used to be. I have Kansas City 2.
Okay.
And I have Buffalo 3. And I know we kind of discussed both teams a little bit. I think you're much more of a Buffalo believer than I am, and I'm more of a Kansas City believer than you are, but that's fine. I think they're interchangeable. Yeah. I have Houston 4 because, again, same kind of thing as the Bucs, but, like, who's overtaking them in the South? Right. I also thought for having such a meh regular season last year, that playoff win was a nice one, and I thought they played decent against Kansas City.
Yep.
My 3 wild cards. This was tough, by the way. I have Denver, who I like, which is funny because I used to hate Sean Payton, but I've been really impressed by his comeback into the NFL.
Yep.
I have Cincinnati.
Yep.
And I'm sticking with my my other team coming out. I have the Miami Dolphins in the playoffs as the seven,
the
seven seed. I think there might be a, like, let's keep, you know, let's win it for the coach. There's a chance it goes the complete opposite way and they're under the Saints. But I don't know. I still believe in the offense they run. I still believe in Tua when he's healthy. It's a shot in the dark. You know, their schedule's not super difficult. So I am going to go with the Dolphins as the seven seed, which means I have
no Chargers,
the Chargers out,
no Patriots,
and no Steelers.
No Steelers. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Screw the Chargers, by the way.
We'll see. Okay.
Anti-Chargers.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right.
Again, no seeds here. I just did the division winners.
Yeah.
The Bills.
Okay.
Ravens.
Yep.
Chiefs. Texans. Again, pretty chalk.
It's hard to pick anything else.
Tell me which team. I mean, I don't see it across the board. So that's fine. Those are my four. Wild card. You know, I said earlier, I'm all in on the Bengals. Mm-hmm. I think they're getting in. I have them as my first wild card. I have the Broncos as my second wild card.
Mm-hmm.
And my New England Patriots as the third wild card. I can't have them going 8-1 at home and not making the playoffs.
I love that we both left the Chargers out of the playoffs.
We did.
It makes me happier.
They were in consideration. That was really it. There was no other, AFC South. There was no thoughts beyond Texans. Steelers are going to be dreadful. I can't wait to watch that debacle.
Yeah.
And then the Browns aren't happening. And then the Dolphins and the Jets for me aren't happening. So and the Raiders as well. So there wasn't really a whole lot to pick from there. The Patriots made it. And I said it last week and I said it earlier. It's just the schedule. It's not even that I think they're that talented.
Yeah.
I just think the schedule is so soft. And it's one of those things where you just have to be better than the other team to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You don't need to win by 30. And I just, you know, I mentioned earlier, Vegas, Pittsburgh, Carolina, Cleveland, Atlanta, New York. I mean, there's a lot of winnable games in there. And if Vrabel is the coach that we all think he is, or that we've been led to believe, I think there's a path to 10 wins there, you know, and maybe 9 gets you in.
So what kept the two of us from both having the Chargers in the postseason? Why? Because, like, I feel like I am kind of sick of the Herbert talk, and maybe that's kind of led me towards this decision, which is maybe a little unfair. But, like, I think Herbert is a very skilled quarterback. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's necessarily a great at the position. I've seen a lot of passes where he should put touch on the ball and doesn't. I think he throws the ball like 1,000 miles an hour, which is great for arm strength, but I don't, you know.
Doesn't help your teammate.
Maybe his receivers have drop issues because he doesn't throw the most catchable ball. I don't know. You know, losing Rashawn Slater for the year is absolutely killer. Again, I feel like every year they have one debilitating offensive line injury.
It's killer. For me, it was also just the math, and maybe them and the Broncos are interchangeable, or maybe the Chiefs come back even further, which, I don't think it's happening. But it's more just the math. Getting three teams in one division is hard. You know, they're going to beat up on each other a bit. And I just, again, that's why I have the Pats kind of sneaking in there. I think the schedule allows for something like that. And I don't really, you know, would I be surprised if the Chargers got in over the Patriots or the Broncos? Absolutely not. But it feels like Herbert is just the guy who puts up is he Matt Stafford early in his career? And eventually needs to go to another team to get over the hump.
Yeah, it's funny. They took the ball out of his hands a lot. Like last year,
yeah,
he had an unbelievable touchdown interception ratio, which is funny because he threw more picks in the one playoff game than he did in the regular season.
Right.
But like they played it very safe with him last year, which I think shows you that maybe even they are like, we got to dial it back with this guy a little bit.
Yeah.
And you know, he seems like a great dude. And like, again, yeah, he's got great tools. Like there's a lot to like about him, but like the position calls for not necessarily being toolsy all the time. And right, I think that there's times where I'm just like, I don't really see it the way other people see it. Like, you know, and the playoffs obviously have a big microscope. Like I remember watching that game and thinking like he just drops back and throws the ball as hard as he can.
Right.
So he's
somebody that has all the tools. You know, is he somebody that can, you know, again, like you said, he kind of reined it in last year, you know, under Harbaugh. And I don't know. I mean, it's not everyone can make the playoffs. And that's, you know, that's just the reality of it. And, you know, we'll look back in 4 months and see how many of the 14 we each got correct.
Before we go, do you have a subject to change Super Bowl pick?
Very much subject to change, but I have your Eagles getting back.
Okay.
But they're not winning it this year. They're losing it too. You think I'm going to say Buffalo, don't you?
No, I don't.
I'm saying Baltimore.
All right. Well,
I have an all bird Super Bowl, and I think Lamar finally gets his one. I think he's just been he's been close many times. It's going to be interesting to see with him and Allen, because their careers are just going to keep going side by side until one of them finally breaks through. And then Burrow's obviously there too. But
I don't know if you can see this. There it is.
Ravens over Eagles.
Yeah, I had the same one. Same one.
Yep. Yeah. It's just hard. There's just not that many good teams. I mean, I did consider the Bills strongly.
Yeah.
But the Ravens are just, again, to me, they're well coached, as much as I don't really like the Harbaughs. They're well coached. Lamar is just such a game changer. Again, even though I don't truly love that style of quarterbacking, it's just, again, I come from the Brady fan base and more of the pocket passer type, but he just wins. He just makes plays. He makes guys miss, and he just obviously has struggled in his career in the playoffs, but I just, one of these years he has to break through. Just, you know, Peyton Manning broke through. All these guys eventually do. The really good ones do, multiple-time MVP winner. I just feel like, you know, this is his year.
He threw 41 touchdowns and four picks year,
which is crazy.
It's insane.
And so he didn't win MVP.
He should have. He also ran for like 900 yards and whatever.
Think about that. He had 41 and four and didn't win the MVP.
Yes, yeah, it's kind of stupid. I think they were just tired of giving it to him. But yeah. I think he might be the best player week to week in the league. So we'll see. I do like them. It was hard to pick an NFC team. I kind of like went back to the Eagles. I think maybe the experience brings him back, but that was a tough pick. Cause I, again, don't believe the Packers. I had the Rams as the one seed, but like, I don't know. It's hard to put them there. I think the Niners get in on cause their schedule, in my opinion, not because they're, you know, a great team right now. So.
But you also project that you're trying to look at teams that are going to have, you know, I know only one seed gets a bye, but you're trying to project a team that's going to be top two.
Yeah.
You know, when you make a Super Bowl pick. And I just think that, you know, we talked about the Packers a little bit and how we're not sure if the Lions could still be the best team in that division. Obviously, the NFC West, most likely not going to produce a number one seed. I mean, the South. And then the West, we have two different NFC West winners. So
yeah,
I just feel like the Eagles are that safe pick to finish with a top two seed. So
yeah,
that, it's just, again, it's about figuring out the path to actually get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Be their third Super Bowl in 5 years.
Yeah.
Which is pretty impressive.
As long as the Chiefs aren't there again. Now I know what it was like for other people watching the Pats all these years, but it's like, all right, enough already.
Chiefs also got low key boring. They, you know, Mahomes is great, but they stopped throwing the ball like more than 10 yards down the field. And it got a little boring last year, with the Chiefs. They were not as exciting as a team as they were the past years. All right. Well, with that, next week we will have games to react to, the greatest thing in the world.
Absolutely.
Games to react to, my favorite thing. I'm like praying that we're going to have like one great finish, one complete referee debacle.
Oh, that'll definitely happen. Wait for the virtual reality, the virtual first down marketing. That's going to be a shit show.
And then I need like one upset that makes us completely overreact. And then one day we'll look back on week one and be like, I can't believe we thought that this team was going to suck because they lost this one.
The Saints won by 30? What happened?
Saints scored 44 and 47 in their first two games last year.
It's wild.
And they still almost didn't hit their win total.
Yep.
So, yeah. All right. Well, with that, Craig, I will see you next week.
Sounds good.